Hi, I'm Leon Steele, and we're glad you can join us today in our study of the words of Jesus Christ, the one and only humanly born Son of God, as we look at what He's told us about entering into eternal life. Not life after our death, resurrection, and judgment, but eternal life now, beginning while we're still dwelling in these mortal human bodies. You know, it's bizarre that this most wonderful news that God has provided eternal salvation for all who believe in Jesus Christ was quickly perverted and, for the most part, quickly discredited within the true church, which the apostles had established through preaching the true and pure gospel of Jesus Christ and His Word. The truth is, as we will see today from the scriptures, that even during the time the early churches were being formed, there was a movement going on that would subvert God's truth and replace it with all manner of doctrines and practices that Jesus Himself had never given. And it's not as though the gospel has not been or is not now available. You know, we have the exact same words and truth of God given to us in the scriptures as the first church heard and believed from the mouth of the apostles. And as we'll see, not believing God and His Word is not a new problem for those who claim to be part of God's church. And we will also look at the dangers that await all who do not genuinely believe in and accept the gospel truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like an audio copy of today's program for use in your own studies of God's Word, we'll be glad to send you an entirely free CD. You will not be contacted or put on a mailing list except at your request. And we're not trying to build a following, and we're not trying to build a church here. Our only purpose is to preach the saving gospel, the good news of salvation that is Jesus Christ. So if you would like a free copy of today's study to listen to, or you can pass it on to someone else, or just to use as a reference in your own studies, this is program number 9090, and you can request it by calling 501-316-0136, or you can write to us at Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And you're welcome to download any of our programs from our internet website in MP3 audio format. And our website address is www.communitychurchofgod.com, and it also has our email address. Again, today's program is number 90. Our phone number is 501-316-0136, and our website is www.communitychurchofgod.com. And if you missed this information, have a pen and paper ready, and we'll repeat it again at the end of today's study. Also, we always welcome and we appreciate whatever comments or questions you may have. The New Covenant Church began on the Old Covenant feast day of Pentecost, 40 days after the death, burial, and resurrection of the body of Jesus. He had appeared to many, many people during that time and had completed His instructing of His apostles in how the church was to be formed, of what it was to teach, and how it was to function here on earth. Toward the end of the 40 days, Jesus called His apostles together to give them His final words on what they were to do. And we find those instructions in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. And here in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus tells His apostles that were going to found His church. Verse 18, He says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" Here, Jesus tells His apostles that as the Spirit-born Son of God and as the physically born Son of Man, He has been given all authority in the physical kingdom of the earth and mankind, as well as all authority in the spirit realm of God. There are no other realms. Jesus is about to grant a limited amount of authority to His apostles, whom He had chosen, taught, and trained. And He tells them in verse 19, this is Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." They were delegated authority by Jesus, who had all authority in heaven and on earth, to go into all the nations and make disciples of Jesus and to baptize them into the name of God, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 20, Jesus tells them what they were to do with their knowledge and authority. And this was the knowledge and authority by which they would make disciples. They were to be, verse 20, teaching them, that is, the disciples who had believed, teaching them to observe, to watch, to listen, and to obey, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, Jesus says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That was what the apostles began to do on the day of Pentecost, when the New Covenant Church was founded. The apostles began teaching the crowds gathered there the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people believed in and received the gospel of Christ, and so began God's one Spirit-born church that exists today. The teachings, the doctrines, and practices that the crowds heard and believed then are exactly the same teachings that save people from death and give them eternal life today. What Christ's apostles taught was the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. And listen to what he says at the end of that verse. No one comes to the Father but through me. For that reason, anyone who wishes to become part of the eternal spirit kingdom of God must enter through Jesus. But what do those words, entering through Jesus, what do those words actually mean? Well, the short answer is that man must enter God's kingdom in the same way we entered into the kingdom of man. We all came into this physical world through the first man God created, Adam. God created out of Adam the woman Eve. And so we have all, including Jesus, entered into this world of man through Adam, by being born of a woman. Jesus is called the second Adam, meaning he would be the head of the kingdom of people who would be entirely like him. Now, this tends to be somewhat confusing because it is so little taught in Christianity. And people say, well, what about Eve? How can she be left out? Do we not come from Adam and Eve? But Adam and Eve were one. They were one because Eve was created out of Adam. They were the one flesh and mind and spirit of Adam. There was no part of Eve that did not come from Adam. She was created different than Adam, but together they were one being, just as mankind is one in Adam. So just as we have all entered the kingdom of man, or the kingdom of Adam, through being born of a woman, so too we must enter the spirit kingdom of God through being born of God. To go through, then, means that anyone who wants to be saved from death and given eternal life must become like Jesus. But how can we do that? How can we mortal, sinful human beings become holy and righteous and sin-free like him? To become like Jesus requires that we have a spirit, soul, and body like he had while he was here on the earth. Jesus was born of a woman with a soul and a body just like all of us, but he was born of the Spirit God as his son. No other person has been born as man and God. Jesus was the only one. Now, we have all been born of the flesh, of the soul and the spirit of Adam, but to become like Jesus and become part of God's kingdom, we must be born again of God's spirit. As Jesus was born, that's the only way to enter into his kingdom, is through Jesus. That's what he said in John chapter 14 and verse 6. That's always been the primary subject of this program from the beginning. And we've examined many, many times in past programs what Jesus says is the only way anyone can escape death and live forever. So I'll go into very briefly restate how Jesus says and shows by his own life that a person can live and never die, beginning now. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, the person of Jesus is described. This is John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 4. He says, in the beginning was the Word. This is God the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God the Word was the Old Testament God who created all that is. He was the one mentioned or talked about in Genesis, and he was known as God the Word. He created all things that exist, and as eternal God, he had eternal life. In verse 14, John tells us about God who became the man Jesus. This is verse 14 of John chapter 1. And the Word, speaking of God, God the Word, God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. God the Word, the Creator God, became a flesh and blood man, just like his creation. Jesus was still the Spirit God he had always been, but he had, through conception in the womb of a woman, been physically born as a man. His being as God was not diminished in any way. He was still the same Spirit God being, but he had, through being conceived in and born of a woman, become fully man, just like all of us. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that's just science fiction stuff. It's too far-fetched for we rational-minded people to accept. Nevertheless, that's exactly what the Scriptures say. And how can we say that we believe in Jesus and yet not believe what he tells us about himself? Jesus came into the world to save man from death so that, through what he did as a man, man could then become like him and have eternal life. Jesus was utterly unique, being born of the Spirit God as fully God and fully man by having been born of a woman. And as I said, we've been through that many times in the past, so I'm going to continue now in John chapter 1 and verses 10 through 13 and look at how man comes to be like Jesus. As we will see, God the Word became like man by being physically born as a man. So it logically follows that man would have to be spiritually born of the Spirit God as Jesus was born to become like Jesus. Verse 10, he's speaking of God the Word, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. God entered the world of man in the same way we all have entered by being born of a woman. He was no longer an invisible spirit being, though, but God had become completely part of his own creation. He came to his own. This is verse 11. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. This is so interesting. Jesus, who was God the Word in human form, came into the world of man, which he had brought into being. His purpose, though, was not to live happily here on earth as a man, but it was to provide salvation for humanity in and through himself as a man. God came into the world as a man to rescue us from sin and death. He was going to provide mankind with a means of escape from our wretched condition of sins, pain, sorrow, and death through his own life, death, and resurrection. The problem was, then as now, that most of mankind was not prepared to believe in and receive him as who he actually was, God in the flesh. And they would not believe in nor accept him. Most people still do not believe in or accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. But listen to verse 12 now, because verse 12 describes the few who did believe in him and accepted him as a man and as God, that is, as the Messiah and the Christ of God. Verse 12 is totally remarkable in its truth and doctrine. But as many as received him, this is verse 12, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. For some inexplicable reason, these verses are not often talked about in Christianity, but they are God's fundamental teaching of the only way by which we can be saved from death and can enter into the eternal life of God. And it's not accomplished by anything man does. Rather, as verse 13 tells us, God himself makes believers able to enter into his eternal life. And it said he gave the privilege of becoming children of God even to those who believe in his name. In verse 13 now, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. God had to be born into the kingdom of man as a man in order to make a way for man to be born into the kingdom of God as a child of God. Now this is, in essence, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through believing in him, in his sacrifice for us, God causes believers to be born of his spirit according to his will. Man has no part in bringing that about. We cannot, by our own will and strength, make ourselves fit in any way to become part of God's kingdom. It is all the work of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all his work done in believers through Jesus Christ. When we talk today about the Christian faith, it can mean practically anything, because we have thousands of different churches with different gospels, meaning different doctrines and practices within Christianity. And the striking thing is that the one and only gospel of salvation given by Jesus, and on which the first churches were raised up within a couple of decades, were already beginning in those churches to be changed up, to be changed into a different gospel, which meant they were beginning to follow different doctrines and practices that were never given by Jesus. From those distorted gospels were then formed different doctrines and practices, and from them, different faiths and churches, all under the name of Christianity. Now, let me be clear, the misrepresentation and falsifying of Christ's word did not begin with wholesale changes and manipulations of his teachings. Rather, it began with questions and statements probably offered by very sincere people, some of whom appear to have been born-again believers, but their teachings were not of Christ's truth and gospel, and they were soon being believed and accepted, though as genuine. The gospel of Jesus Christ and his word would be twisted into different doctrines and faiths, just as the gospel of God given to Adam and Eve was warped and altered by Satan into a gospel and faith of sin and death. And we're going to look at more of that in a moment. Now, though, let's look in Paul's letter to the Galatian churches, where we can clearly see that numerous false gospels were already about to raise up new faiths, not of Christ. This is in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul begins with an introduction of himself and of the authority Jesus had given him. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but, and notice this word again, through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, Paul says, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Paul says, Amen. Then Paul gets to the point of his letter. Verse 6, I am amazed, Paul says, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And this is where we come to another faith. Paul was astounded by their lack of belief in the words we just read a few minutes ago in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, that God caused all who believed in and received Jesus Christ as the Master and Lord of their life to be born again, not because of anything they had done, but born from above of the will of God, just like Jesus was born. As we saw earlier with Adam and Eve, this was not the first time in the history of mankind that people had rejected God's stated will to turn to a false gospel. So I want to go back to Eden for a minute, where we're given a very clear picture of the nature man came to have by his own choice. Going back to the beginning of Adam's creation, God told Adam that he had planted a garden in Eden and that he could freely eat of everything there except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If he ate of that fruit, God told him, death would come to him. We all know what happened. The woman God had created out of Adam as his wife, and the mother of all who would be born, Eve, was told by Adam to not eat of that fruit which had been forbidden by God. So God in His Word was the gospel to Adam and Eve. He was the truth. He was the way and the life. He was, as we read earlier, the Creator, God the Word. But the woman Eve heard the words of a different gospel from the serpent Satan. And she and Adam accepted his lies and turned away from the gospel truth and the life of God. And there can be only one true gospel of God, and it's given to us in the person and the word of Jesus, which is exactly the same now as it was when Jesus provided it. There is only the one faith or belief that is of Christ, through which we can enter God's kingdom. We can have as many gospels and faiths as we like, which are based on whatever word we choose to believe, just as Adam and Eve chose what to believe. And we do have thousands of gospels in Christianity which are different from the gospel of Jesus Christ. But only the one gospel of Jesus has power to save anyone from sin and death and to give eternal life. All the other thousands of gospels and faiths that have arisen from the one false gospel given by Satan and accepted by man as truth are a lie. There is only the one never-changing gospel of God that was given in and through the man Jesus Christ that has authority and power to save from death and to give eternal life to all who believe in and accept it. So if there's only one true gospel, there can be only one faith, one truth, one salvation, and one Lord and Savior. Every other gospel and faith is of a lie and leads only to sin and death, as Paul tells us then in verse 7, which is really not another gospel, only there are some, Paul says, who are disturbing, who are agitating you, and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, to distort something is to alter or to change it in some way, which adds or takes away from its true form. In the case of Christ and truth, distortion alters the description of the person of Jesus Christ and of His truth, of His words. And it alters it into something that's untrue. And that's exactly what has happened from the beginning. Adam and Eve believed in, that is, they chose to place their faith in the gospel, in the person and words of Satan. And from that distorted, corrupted gospel have come all the gospels and faiths there are in the world, except the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve believed in God. They knew Him personally. They walked and talked with Him in the garden. They knew who He was, that He was God. But when Satan offered something that sounded better, they believed it and they accepted it, rather than believing and trusting God and His words of truth. And it's no different today. Our human nature is exactly like that of Adam and Eve. That's why God Himself had to come to the earth as a man to redeem and rescue man from the old spirit of sin and death and cause as many as would believe in Him to be born again, to be born this time of the holy and righteous spirit of Christ. Christianity believes in and accepts the existence of the person of Christ, just as Eve believed in and accepted the person of God. But she did not believe in and accept His words. And so it is today with much of our Christian gospel and faith. It is obvious by the vast disparity in the doctrines and teachings of our churches that much of Christianity has chosen to believe in gospels other than Christ's doctrines and words, and so have twisted the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ into words and doctrines that sound good to the sinful mind of man, as Satan's words sounded to the mind of Eve, but are entirely of a lie. Satan works by going straight at the root of our beliefs. And let me go back to Genesis for a moment and read about this. Adam believed in God, and he passed God's command on to Eve, and we find this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3. Verse 3, "But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it." And this is Eve speaking to the serpent. "You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Eve was deceived, so she believed the words of Satan. Now, we can believe the words of God or we can believe the words of someone else, but to believe and accept other words than those Jesus has given is to reject him and his words. Everything has always been from either God or Satan. Satan told Eve that her eyes would be opened if she and Adam ate of the forbidden fruit. And so Eve used her eyes to check it all out. She examined the tree and its fruit, and in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 6, her eyes told her this, that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Eve had heard, through the words of Adam, the true gospel, that there was a mortal danger there in the garden, but by not eating of it, they could remain in and enjoy the paradise and the fellowship of God. That was a tremendous gospel truth that could not be seen with the eyes, but was given only through the hearing of God's word. Eve chose to trust in what her eyes could see and in the words of Satan, which she had heard, and she believed the false gospel of Satan's words, and through hearing and receiving them, she put her faith, her trust, in Satan. And so it is still today. We have the true gospel of Jesus Christ in his person and in his true, undistorted words. And our choice is a simple one, to believe in Jesus Christ and the completeness of his saving and changing work in our lives, or to believe something else. And it does not matter what else we choose to believe in, because nothing else can save us from death. Nothing else can cause us to be born again of God's Spirit and give us eternal life. Back now to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul said, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." A different gospel has to result in a different faith. Faith comes from hearing words, whether they're spoken or read. In any case, it is words that bring truth or lies into our mind or into our soul. Verse 7 now, which is really not another gospel. Now, someone might argue that there are other gospels, but in reality, they do not really exist because they're all of man, and they die when man dies. Paul says, which is really not another gospel, only there are some who are disturbing you, this is through their words, and want to distort, and again through their words, the gospel, the words of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, he said, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel or to preach to you words contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, Paul says, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Well, we're about out of time today, but if you would like a free CD copy of today's program, just request program number 90, that's number 90, by calling 501-316-0136, or you can write to us at Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And you're welcome to download any of our programs from our internet website in MP3 audio format. And our website address is www.communitychurchofgod.com, which also has our email address. And again, today's program is number 90. Our phone number is 501-316-0136, and our mailing address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And our website address is www.communitychurchofgod.com. Well, we thank you for listening today. We hope you can join us again next week at this same time as we continue our study of living eternally as the Spirit-born children of God who are the living body of Jesus Christ.